And he does, he starts interrupting, but we're glad to have Pat and Steve with us this evening. So we'll begin with a wee word of prayer, and then we will sing a song. Let's bow our heads. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we've set aside, Lord, for this little shelter in the time of storm. And I pray you this day, Lord, please, that you would just be one of our number, Lord. That you would be with Ling and Christy and Norman and Pat and Steve and Monica and myself. But Lord, also those that aren't here, I pray for Frank and Dr. Shang, for Will and Christine, for Leonard and Esther. Lord, for Carol and John and Stephen, and for all those that have been and gone, pray your good hand upon them. And for our CD ministry, Lord, for Stephen and Anne-Marie, and we thank you for a wee bit of resolution in the situation with her dad. For Carol and Harry and Marie, as they mourn the loss of a niece, Heather, in that fire last week. For Norman and Joan. For Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, for Eddie and Anne, and wee Mason too especially, for Alan Leslie, and Lord, for Pearl Hetherington, and for the many others, Lord, especially for the Fleckner family at this time in the wake of Maslin passing away. Please, Lord, I pray, put your good hand upon all of us. Just thank you for watching over us and for keeping us. Pray, Lord, for brothers and sisters across the island and across the world. And pray most of all, Lord, that your will be done. We love you and thank you. Amen. That was the one thing, in case I would forget, you've heard mention of the Fleckner family and how they were up in Lisburn and got in touch with us a while back. Whenever I was walking up and down doing my therapy up and down the Maboy Road, they rang me one day on the phone to say they used to come here and then they moved away to America for years, and they were wanting to come back, both quite ill. Maslin passed away on, was it Monday night?
I think it was.
Or Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning, was it?
Saturday night.
But we heard the phone go off in the distance about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, didn't quite get up for it, but haven't been able to get in touch with the family since. I know his wife was in quite a bad way. I spoke to her a day or two beforehand. I'd ask that you would pray for the Fleckner family, especially at this time. For the Diamond family, that would be Carol Diamond and the family, who the cousin passed away just up there on the old Ross Downey Road. Please pray for these families, if you would, at this time. Can you hear me okay, Steve? All right. Right, 194. If you'd like to take your big hymn books and turn there, we're going to sing Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Hymn number 194.
Since Jesus came into my heart, I have light in my soul for weeks long I have sought. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, what a joy. Soul like a sable unroll, since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my Since Jesus came into my heart, and no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy came into my heart. There's a light in the valley of death not for me, since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of the city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into of joy o'er my soul like a sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like a sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
It's been a while since we sang that one. Amen. We're not too far away from that for our next hymn. If you keep your hymn books out and turn to 219. 219 is My Burdens Rolled Away. 219, My Burdens Rolled Away.
I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord and I took him at his word, then at once all my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. Since my burdens rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. I remember when my burdens rolled away, that I feared would never leave night and day. Jesus showed to me the lost, so I left them at the cross. I was glad when my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away. Since my burdens rolled away. I remember when my burdens rolled away, that had hindered me for years, night and day. As I sought the throne of grace, just a glimpse of Jesus' face, and I knew that my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. I'm singing since my burdens rolled away. There's a song within my heart night and day. I am living for my King, and with joy I shout and sing. Alleluia, all my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away.
Norman, would you be fit to read for us? Yeah. Would you come on ahead then, brother?
This evening's reading is from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I will declare and speak to them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, Aha, Aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Amen.
Amen. Just in case Steve says something I forgot to give you the... So that's on me. I appreciate the suggestions from Steve, and I appreciate Norman reading them. Thank you very much indeed. Now, I will get... We'll take a moment or two, and we'll get any prayer requests that anybody might have. Does anybody have any specific prayer requests? We're all good. Yeah? All good. It's good. I'm glad to hear it. I would ask for special prayers for the Fleckner family, and we already have the Diamond family on the list. Please do pray for both of those families at this time. Yep. I think he's down there, isn't he?
Handwritten there. We don't have a new sheet.
Oh, yeah. It's handwritten on my orange sheet. So my apologies. Yes. Sorry. To me, that's a thing that's already written down. To everybody else, you don't have a record. But I am sure you heard Monica playing the keyboard. That's what, about a week? It's a week tonight that her retina, tore on her. And she is, just this past day or two, feeling a lot better and more at herself. And as you can see, she was able to play the keyboard quite well. Quite well. Very well. There you go.
I think it tore while I was playing last week. That's the significance.
So that's whenever Monica last week, the keyboard stopped playing just sort of halfway through and she had a bit of difficulty. That's when her eye went. And it was nearly what? It was at least three quarters of a day after that you got it sorted out. And they still said you got it in good time. Mm-hmm. So if anything ever does happen, don't be sitting doing nothing about it. Make sure you do something. Says the pot to the kettle. Yeah, amen. Please do pray for Frank. He'll be with us in 11 days actually. So remember him as well. We have all the rest of our prayer requests. We have everybody that's here marked for a private prayer request. Does anybody want their name taken off the private prayer requests? No. We have all plenty to pray about. All you got to do is look around or even check the names that are underlined there, and there are things to be prayed about. Right, I think I do need to bring you up to date a little bit on the issue of the land. I have spoken to Christy and to Norman. Monica has weighed in as well, and there's a couple of opinions about there, a couple of options. One is to buy it and be out from underneath them. The other is just to try and make them see that they have made an error. Fortunately, I record all of my conversations, and I found the conversation with the surveyor and the minister back on the 5th of November. Thank goodness for phones with 256 gig of RAM on them. And the first 5 minutes of the recording, the surveyor says to the minister, "This isn't the 5 hectares we spoke about." So there's obviously been an error somewhere, and it's really a matter of getting them to see that error and getting them to admit that there was an error made. I sent a note to that effect via email and asked for a face-to-face with Robin Young, so we will see how that goes. Basically, they were going to offer us the 5 hectares for £10,000, and we've got 1/60th of that land. So I want you to bear that in mind. 1/60th. I think it would be this land and that whole field that goes halfway up the hill. It would be that amount of land would be about 5 hectares, 12 and a half acres. So please do pray about that. I think what Mr. Young has said is Bethel will pay us £10,000 for that, but he hasn't given them the background, and we need to make that known. So I appreciate your prayers and thoughts. I would ask that you would continue to pray, or even pray continually, to say that they're a bit, I don't even know what the word recalcitrant means, but it almost sounds like the right word. They're a bit reluctant to entertain the fact that they made an error with their original estimate. So I'm hoping that things will get resolved without any animosity. Bethel is an old church, timber frame church building, but it's our old timber frame church building, and I would hate to see it go. I would hate for someone else to come in and bulldoze it or turn it into a car repair or something like that after all the work that has gone into it and the time that we've been here. But we'll pray the Lord's will be done. So please do keep praying about the church. Robin Young is the preacher's name, and he needs prayers too. So I think that's about that. Any other, AOB? Anybody got any thanks? I'm thankful that Monica's eyes, retina surgery went okay. Recovery is ongoing. Check up in about 1 week's time. I'm still alive and standing and feeling much better than I did this time last week. So I'm glad of that as well. Has anybody got anything else to be thankful for? Okay. I would appreciate your prayers still. As you know, all the blood tests came back clear. As far as the doctor says, I'm in perfect health. Yet I still feel awful. But please do pray about that as well. Right, let's pray. Christy, would you lead us? And then we'll sing another song. Thank you, brother. Right, let's sing another song. Hymn number 271. 271, if you're able, let's stand as we sing, Lord, I'm coming home.
of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. Thy love, believe thy word, Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore, now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore, Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Put your hymn books away this evening, if you would, and take your Bibles out and turn with me to Luke chapter 6, if you would. Luke chapter 6, and I would like to read, Luke chapter 7, my apologies, Luke chapter 7. Thankfully it wasn't that far away, but we'll be referring back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse number 24. We appreciate you all being here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to take a bit of time and give it to God and just see what he can do with it in our lives. I remember the day that everything changed for me when I went to being a Christian, working a computer guy that worked in Desmond's and went to church, to a Christian that worked in Desmond's. And I've always found that the times that we turn up in church, they help me mark the week. I can always, you know, whenever you wake up first thing in the morning and you're trying to figure out when you sleep still in the, on your head, what day is it today? And I'm thinking back, was I in church yesterday morning and yesterday evening, or was it the day before that? Because that would be a Monday or a Tuesday. And if I was only in church yesterday evening, that would make it a Thursday. But yes, indeed, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Take it, we're all there. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Just want to read these seven verses up to verse 30, and then I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of making a rod to beat yourself with. The Word of God says, "And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, that there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." We did make a mention in Luke chapter 6. There's another verse, verse 11, which I would like to read to you just before we have a wee word of prayer. And it says about the scribes and the Pharisees, whenever the Lord worked a miracle on the Sabbath day, it says, they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. So that is the subject is making a rod to beat yourself with. And in quotes I put throughout all eternity, and we're in Luke chapter 7. Let's have a word of prayer and then we will continue again. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for just the time to be here, for the message, Lord, for the pointing out of it, for Ling and Norman and Christy and Monica and myself, for all those that could be here, for our absent brethren. But Lord, for those that have turned up, I pray you, Lord, for your arm about each one of us. Lord, even as I speak, that you would speak to me again about the contents of this message, that you would work in our hearts and minds, Lord, and that those of our brethren across the world, that you would cleanse, that you would refresh, that you would edify, Lord, even chasten, Lord, comfort and strengthen. Please lift the scales off of our eyes and help us to see things the way you see things, Lord. I want to thank you for loving us, for giving your life on the cross for us, and for the great salvation you set aside for us, Lord. Just bless us now in our time together, and we ask this, of course, our private prayer requests as well, and the others that were mentioned today, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will, amen. Amen. A quick word or two about this portion of God's word, and then we will look in a little bit more detail at verse number 30, where it says, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. There are some quite interesting verses here. The little portion that we have chosen, that I have chosen to look at this evening, begins with John the Baptist. Now, I know the Baptist Church seems to take its name from John the Baptist, but we are not the John the Baptist Church. We're just the Independent Baptist Church. We believe in the full immersion in water for the baptism, not for the repentance of sins, but an identification as a sign, as obedience to God when he says to be saved and then to be baptized, and then it'll mean something. So John the Baptist was called this because that's exactly what he did, except his baptism was a very public show of a very personal and, in fact, physically unobservable thing that had changed in people's lives. They had gone from being lost souls, just wandering from pillar to post, to being saved souls, to trusting in God. And so what they did was, after they trusted in God, was they got baptized. And John the Baptist was called John the Baptist because he was going at it hammers and tongs, because if you were to read the last chapter or two of Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament, you will see these words mentioned here. Jesus said, this is the man that Malachi wrote about. This is God's herald. This is the man that comes to make straight his paths, to prepare the way of men's hearts so that they will receive Jesus. So, this all came about from John sending his disciples to see Jesus, to listen to Jesus, and see if he really was the Messiah. And so, the Lord said this very interesting little thing in verse 28. He says, John the Baptist is the greatest man that ever lived. Quite simply, the greatest man that ever lived. But what was different about him? Well, he was indwelt by the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Never had to get saved. Walked and talked with God his whole life. I am sure he was almost like an alien. Can you imagine a man walking and talking with God, not caring about nice clothes or lovely food or anything like that? He ate what he needed to eat. He did what he needed to do. He wore what he needed to wear. Norman and I were just talking about it. Norman was saying at the start of the service how he went and painted his shed. But it wasn't the colour he wanted. And I said, does it do the job you wanted? And he said, yes, it does. That was John the Baptist. If it did the job, if it got people saved, he did it. And he wasn't worried about visiting the scribes or the Pharisees in the synagogue. He preached the gospel, not the doctrine of the scribes and the Pharisees, but the gospel, to put your faith in God Almighty. And it was, I don't know if it was Joe Public or Joe Publican, I think Joe Publican back in the day. They loved it. Not loved it, they needed it. They literally needed the gospel. Because the gospel bears an awful lot of our burdens when we let it into our heart. Our worries and our cares, we can commit them to God and we can tell God about them. Or we can bear them ourselves and lose sleep over them. And I must admit, with the things that have been going on with the church, I did lose an hour or two of sleep over it last night. It bothered me. Suppose I should have been praying a little bit harder. But we need to pray and trust the Lord. Anyway, we come to talking about John the Baptist. And I was reminded of whenever we were reading back in the Old Testament about Moses. And the time that Moses was up in the mount with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and he got the scriptures off him, the Old Testament, the first five books of the law. And does everyone remember how Moses appeared whenever he came down from the mountain? His face was glowing, literally glowing with the glory of God. He had spent that long in the close presence of God. His face glowed with the glory of God. And he scared people. Maybe it was the glory of God convicting people, even the best of people, even Aaron and Joshua. But they asked him to put a veil over his face so that the glory of God wouldn't continually convict them of their sin, even though they hadn't done anything, even their sin nature. That was 40 days and 40 nights. John the Baptist was in the wilderness for years with God, walking and talking with him. I am sure hearing about all the wonderful things that Jesus was going to do and being reminded of heaven, but also, do you remember his words? He must increase, but I must decrease. Also of his solemn duty. And to be quite honest with you, it wasn't too much longer after John the Baptist went into eternity that our Savior gave his life on the cross. There was only a couple of years in it. There seems to be a common thread there. I'm not trying to scare you off serving the Lord, but in this case, this is what happened. It's no wonder John the Baptist was able to preach and people were getting right in their hearts when the very presence of God, the first man with whom the Holy Spirit rested and remained, other than God Almighty, was speaking to people. And as some of the scribes and the Pharisees said, he speaks with authority. He speaks like he knows God. He speaks like he walks with God. He's speaking right into our hearts. And we all know that the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he took up the mantle of the great high priest for the whole nation of Israel, he spoke the same way. He spoke directly to people. He spoke past the nonsense. He spoke past the drivel. He spoke past the prejudice. He spoke past the status quo. He spoke to what every single man needed, and that was peace with God. And people got saved. The difference, I suppose, as we come to verse 30, about the Pharisees and the scribes and Sadducees and whomever else was running the country there, they rejected these words. But they rejected the counsel of God against themselves. And the only reason I can think that they would be doing that is because they thought they were God. They pretty much thought that what they were doing made them special. And pride, I suppose, became the most important thing in their world. And when Christ came threatening that, showing them up, Yes, there were a few that changed, and there were a few that got themselves right with God, but the vast majority of them didn't. They had many plans to kill him, as we saw from Luke chapter 6. There was one point whenever he spoke from, I think it was Isaiah, and they grabbed him and they were going to take him up to the top of the hill and throw him down and kill him, but he just passed through the middle of them. Maybe incorporeally, maybe they said, "Whoa, look at that over there, something shiny," and everybody looked, and he slipped his bonds or the hands of those and walked back through the crowd. I like to think he did it supernaturally and just slipped away. The sad thing about it is, for all the fact, you remember when the Lord said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you traverse the land and the sea to make one proselyte, one disciple, and whenever you do, you make him twice the son of the devil that you are yourselves." These men had already been made the sons of the devil, because for 400 years the scribes and the Pharisees had been drifting farther and farther and farther away from the teachings of God, until they were quite literally pointing people away from God. They could not see it. They could not stick it. They would not see it. They didn't actually realize that everything that they were doing was working against them. Even the very words of the scriptures that they claim. Jesus said, "You look to the scriptures for salvation and they speak of me." You know what, folks? A lesson that the scribes and the Pharisees, many of which, and many people today and down through the ages, have never learned, is that there is no amount of money or false religion. And when I say false religion, I mean a religion, a faith, whatever you want, a belief system that says we can give you peace. There is no false religion that can deliver that. There is no amount of good deeds that deliver that. There is no amount of pride in your own hands or your work. There is no amount of property. There's no amount of houses. There's no amount of anything that you or I can put our hands to that will save our souls. All the times that souls here and now, and even back then, all the works that they did to establish their own salvation, the Lord said in answer to that, "It's only my work that will save you." I think it's in Romans it says, "They've worked hard to establish their own righteousness, but they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Do you know what? It's easy to know you need a Savior when you know you are a sinner. And yes, in one aspect, the gospel of Jesus Christ does point a very big finger at every single soul. It says there's none righteous, no, not one. I think even Norman, as he was reading in Psalm, was it 42? 40. Contains that verse. "We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God," pretty much it said. It's easy to know you need a Savior when you know you are a sinner. But so many people sit in church for an hour on a Sunday morning and think that balances all the times that they've taken the Lord's name in vain. I took the Lord's name in vain, but I went to church on Sunday morning. I cursed and swore at someone for no reason, but I was in church on Sunday morning. I stole money from work, but I was in church on Sunday morning. And all the times they think that turning up for an hour and sitting with their mouths shut for 1 hour on a Sunday morning is going to pay for all their sins, and it doesn't. We're not here to pay for sins. We're here because our sins are paid for. We're here to worship and praise the God that gave his life on the cross for us. I don't know about you, but I could certainly take you to the doors of many's a person in this town, very good people who are not saved, who look to lots of other things in their lives for the peace in their souls that the world promises to give, but only Jesus Christ can give. It's a peace, and I think it was best summed up in Philippians 4 verse 6. It says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer, that's talking to God, and supplication, that's begging of God, and thanksgiving, that's thanking God, let your requests be made known unto God, all of your requests, and after that the peace that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You don't feel anxious and you don't have anxious thoughts going through your head. The world promises and indeed delivers, but temporarily. Only Jesus Christ can deliver forever. And you can see the effects of this in the world today. It has crept so far up into the corridors of power that the people that run this great union, this great united kingdom that we have, think it's a grand idea, whenever part of it is having difficulty with the government, to sneak in laws that demand that people that want to kill their unborn children get to do so. And that the sin that caused the flood on the earth and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah should be made legal. Or more legal. And you wonder why the Lord commanded us to pray for those in power. They need it. We need another way. You might think it's nonsense that the religious people are doing a good job. At the moment, Christy's studying through Acts. He's in Acts 16. I thought he was finished last week, but I had been looking at Romans 16. I thought, wow, did we get through the book of Acts in a real hurry or what? And then he started reading. I thought, what? He's not reading it right. And then I looked at the top of the page. I was in Romans, Christy was in Acts. But Paul is mentioned a lot in the book of Acts. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, and Timotheus, and Mark, and a handful of other guys who gave their lives to preach the gospel and to start churches here, there, and everywhere. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. If you had taken any portion of the old books of the law and pointed to Paul, Paul could say, of the law I am blameless. You can't point a finger at me. He called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Not only that, he was a Roman Jew. He was a citizen. He could speak many languages. He was accomplished. He was a rising star. And do you know what? God met him on the road to Damascus one day. And he showed Paul, Paul, you're a murderer. Paul, all of those of my children that you have taken and have put to death, all of those children's belongings that you have stolen from them and given to the church, you're a murderer and a thief. Over and over and over and over again, much like so many people, not even knowing it, that partake in the various abortion centres, not just here in Northern Ireland, but around the world, marked on their souls for the endless ages of eternity as a murderer. And if they don't get right with Jesus Christ, that will be them. He murdered and he lied and he cheated because he thought he was doing it right. But when he really met Jesus, he was a changed man. He fell off that donkey, a lost man, a religious man, a works man, and he got up off the ground a believer. Was it Ananias or Annas, was it, was sent to him to lay hands on him that he was able to see again 3 days later. But do you know what? He got saved. And that's what's important. He went from heading to hell in the lake of fire, from wandering through this life, ignorant of the best way to live it, trying to make his life mean something with things that are temporary. Oh, I could hold a position, the highest position. I could be the great high priest. He was probably thinking, 5 years from now, I could be with Caiaphas and was it Annas? Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest. I could be them in a few years. But even at that, you can only hold on to that for a little while before it's gone, and then what? He was desperately, like many others, seeking something that would bring him peace and contentment, and didn't even know it until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. He went from wondering how to navigate relationships like many other lost and situations and deal with all manner of loss and disappointment. Looking for the most noble of purposes. And I want to say something. I believe that the seeking and saving of souls is the most important thing in the world. But I believe doctors and scientists and it's a funny thing, I went to visit Norman to do a wee thing on his phone the other day, and I met a fellow that's a bin man. A guy that I know, a friend of a friend, and he said, this is what he said to me, "Thank you, Mark, for calling out to me and coming over and saying hello." I said, "Kieran, I thought you flew a desk, I didn't know you still went out in the lorries." And he said, no, I love this. I love the fresh air and I love getting paid for it. Although I'm sure the air coming out of the back of a bin lorry might be a bit questionable. Anyway, I don't know where we were going with that, but it was funny at the time. The greatest of purposes, that's right. It's important that there are doctors and nurses and even bin men and shopkeepers. We need those things because they keep us going now. But in the endless ages of eternity, it's only going to be God that keeps us going. It'll be God's presence in our hearts and minds that saves our souls, or it'll be God's absence whenever we step off into eternity that damns us for all of eternity. Have you seen folks trying to substitute time, money, exercise? Imagine people spending years doing Keep Fit and they only live a year longer. And they think, my goodness, if I had picked something else to do, I could have had a much more profitable life, but there you go. People that are trying to substitute the presence of God in their lives with hobbies and games and sports and even a good career. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but when you try to use them as a god, then they become an idol. And that is why God said to the rich young ruler, the Bible records that Jesus, looking on him, loved him and said to him, "One thing that you have, basically in your heart, you've set up, you love money more than you love God. So go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me." And even the thought of it was enough to turn his smile upside down into a frown. And the Bible records he went his way sorrowing. We need a noble purpose. We need a purpose that's greater than ourselves, so that we will get up off of our couches and we will sacrifice some of our comfort towards us. We need a purpose that's greater than ourselves so that we will reach into our pockets and put some money towards it. We need a purpose that's greater than ourselves so that we will roll up our sleeves and put some effort into it. And we need a purpose greater than ourselves so that we will give a few seconds of our week, a few minutes or a few hours of it, and not think that we missed out. The greatest purpose is saving of souls. There are many other things to do in this life, but even as you do them, you can still serve the Lord God. People are not doing that. Can you imagine having to lean on other men or other women? Can you imagine needing other people close to you when you are literally at the point of death? What good is that going to do for you? Who will hold your hand as you step off into eternity? I think it was Voltaire, the guy that has made our electricity and our gadgets possible, said, "I take a fearful leap into the dark." I don't. I will take, yes, an excited step into the light with Jesus Christ holding me in his hands and God holding me in his hands. As the image that is given to us of Lazarus in Luke 16 carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, carried by the angels to heaven. That's for you and I, but it's not for the lost soul. How would you like to go through your whole life with a yawning desire that you know not what it is, always gnawing at your soul, always pushing you this way and that way, with no assurance that things will work out for the best, at the mercy of changing standards and morals and laws, with nothing concrete to base your life on, just going with the flow, happy to murder unborn children and even a few older folks that are having a difficult time and call it progress. To be at the mercy of the first thought or feeling that flits through your head, with never any long-lasting joy or peace whatsoever, and certainly not in eternity. And that's just a few of the things. I am sure we could think of the characteristics that many lost souls have formed in their own lives as they try to substitute for God in their hearts. What about instead of being like that for every day of the rest of your life and in the endless ages of eternity to this? To knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 20, the Bible talks about all the wonderful works that these dead, small and great, that stand before the great white throne of judgment have. And some of the great have done great works and some of the small have done little works and helped people across the road or give someone a pound for a cup of coffee. But do you know what the deciding factor is about heaven or the lake of fire? Is their name in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the deciding factor. Are you saved? And if their name is not there, they're thrown into the lake of fire. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior and nothing and nobody else, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are going to heaven. You know you're on the winning side. You can read the book and find out who wins at the end. You might think, oh, that book doesn't apply to us. Let me tell you something, friends. Things that are in this book are coming true on TV. You can see them coming true on TV, my goodness. How's about knowing you have a home in heaven? How's about knowing that you have a new and a glorified body with no aches or pains, no fuzzy heads in the morning, no sore backs, no problems with stomachs, no torn retinas ever again, no appendix or tonsils ever to be pulled out, or gallbladders? I suppose that's three organs that you can do without. How would you like to have a new body upheld by the power of God, waiting for you whenever this one is done? How's about seeing all of those that you have loved and knew that loved God again? All those at whose graves you stood by, knowing that you'll see them again, that the time apart will only be a hiccup, a drop in a bucket of the endless years we will be able to spend together and never have to say goodbye again. And having the full assurance of all of that right now in this life, knowing that God has you in the palm of his hand, not even the devil can take you out. Knowing that you can have the very wisdom of God if you want it, if you turn up and ask for it. That you have the fellowship of God Almighty any time you want it. That you have Jesus Christ fighting your corner when the accuser of the brethren comes pointing his finger at God and says, your child did this, that one there. And Jesus says, hold on a wee second, I gave my life on the cross for that. Jesus is interceding for us all the time. How's about a family? A family that believes the same as you and loves you just like another family member. How's about knowing that everything that the world, the flesh and the devil takes away or that you have to leave behind, that God has something 100 times better for you right now in this world? You have a God to speak to you, a Jesus to speak for you, and a Holy Spirit to speak through you, if you let them. The greatest of jobs, the seeking and saving of those that are lost, that's the job Jesus came to do. The help of angels? The Bible says that God dispatches angels to help us, to minister to us. The word of God that I see sitting on people's knees, this is the very word of God that people have spent their lives putting that in English in your lap. And we already spoke of the peace that passeth all understanding when you just unload to God about everything. The joy of knowing that you're going to heaven, and even on the worst day of your life, when you lose your money, your friends, your family, your home, your health, you are still going to heaven. You're still going to heaven. And I was going to say, and we have the confirmation of all the prophetic scriptures. And we don't have to hook through the Bible for them. We just turn the channel on our TVs. And we see it happening right in front of us. Do you remember back before you got saved? The way your mind worked? The way your heart was? Your life was? You'd probably come to a point in your life whenever you said, there's no future in this life for me the way it is now. I'm sick, sore and tired of it. I want Jesus to make me over a new creature, Lord. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm going to turn away from them and turn to you. What a faith. I remember the day, in the words of the song, I remember when my burdens rolled away. I literally felt 3 or 4 or 5 stone lighter. And I was bouncing all over the place like a spring lamb or a 5-year-old. I would not go back to that, to before that, for anybody. The hurts that were caused before I met Jesus, he healed and strengthened. And in many cases, the Lord will give back the years that the locusts have eaten. Imagine living with the thought of no hope. Imagine what that does to the mind. I don't have to imagine this. I know that God knew what sort of lives that we would be living. I think whenever the Lord gave his life on the cross, he lit the blue touch paper. Have you ever heard that, Sam? He lit the fuse. And it's been crackling along ever since. And he knew what we were going to face every single day. The filth, the mire, the lies, the thefts, the murders. He knew we would be facing that every single day. And he knows what that does to our hearts and to our minds and to our lives. And so to those of us that trust him, he gives the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and all the promises that go along with it. Because anything else, really, friends, honestly, you are literally making your life harder than it has to be and doing yourself out of a wonderful eternity. As the title says, all you're doing when you reject Jesus Christ is hurting yourself. We've been designed to walk and talk with God from the day that Adam was called up out of the earth and Eve was made from a rib that was taken out of his side. Until the day that we returned to the dust, we were designed to walk and talk with God. And anything else is just a second-class life. It is important that even saved souls, we do what God asks us to do. It is important because souls are dependent on it. So friends, when God calls, just obey. Don't be like Paul in Acts whenever he fell off the horse and Paul said to him, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And what that means is the goads that used to be around the back of the horse to stop them from kicking, if they ever went to kick, they'd get a jag. The pricks, the goad kept them pointing in the right direction. And whenever you go against it, all you're doing is hurting yourself. So when God calls, or even as we read here, as Norman reads, and there's a wee piece of the scripture that speaks to you, do it. Memorize it. Might not be for you, It might not be to you, but it's certainly for you to bring to somebody else. Memorize it. Think about it. Be ready to repeat it. But God has that there for a reason. In fact, you know what you should do is even as you come to church, just say to him, God, would you have a wee piece of scripture for me? Would you direct me? Would you guide me? Give him an invitation into your mind and into your life, even for this little bit of time. It's so important. It's not what God wants to continually be straightening us out. So go with what God says. Go with what God says. I'm going to stop there and thank you for your good time this evening. God bless you. Right. I am more than happy to entertain a request this evening. Does anybody have one that they would like to? You already got to choose, Mrs. Bradfield. It's Christy. Pardon? What? There's a little voice. Looks like Steve beat us in that one. Black Book number 19. God be with you till we meet again. I tell you what, just for you, Steve, we'll sing it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing number 19.
With you till we meet again.
till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again.
Amen. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you or being in touch with you as the week goes on, but definitely again on the Lord's Day morning. Amen. Christy, would you pray for us and dismiss us, if you would, please?
Lord, we thank you for this time around your word, Lord, the message, Lord, for the fellowship and the hymns, Lord. We thank you that we still have the liberty to do this in your land, Lord, in this land, Lord. We need you freely, Lord. Help us preserve that, Lord, and not take it for granted, Lord. Keep each one, Lord, open hearts and minds. I pray, Lord, that you try each heart here and each heart has been tried, Lord, and you would just pluck any way out of each of us, Lord, please. Cleanse, refresh, strengthen, and guide us, Lord, along the way that you have for each of us. Save the lost, remember our missionaries, Lord, provide their needs at this time as well, please. Comfort those grieving families and people in the sick, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, folks. We are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands, tiptoe.